Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we're in our 20th year bringing these messages to you. And we thank the Lord for this radio station, for you, the listener, for all the prayers and support. And we thank the Lord for all the great messages that He has given us over the years for His Word. And so today we're going to be looking at a good message again. It's called Faith, Great Faith, and Faith. And so we have an opportunity to exercise our faith in the kingdom of God. We have an opportunity to bring the glory of God to things that we put our hands to here on this earth and to bring glory to God through the works that we do. And so this is going to be the subject for today. If you have your Bible there today, turn it to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We'll get to the message here in just a minute. First, I want to give you an update. What's going on here in Kenya? We're having very hot and dry weather in Kenya now, but the rainy season is coming. In just 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to be getting a lot of rain, and so we're preparing to plant. But the big project on the radar is we're starting a school project. We have an acre of land right next to the children's home, and we're getting ready to build a primary school for the village of Makunda. And we just got the blueprints back from the county architect a couple of days ago. Been studying the blueprints. And so this is going to be a wonderful project. It's going to be a school for about 350 students, grades 1 through 8 with preschool, primary school, and lunchroom, big cafeteria, all that stuff. There's going to be a lot of activity out there in the next couple of years. So if you have an idea that you want to support this ministry, you want to see the children of Makunda have a good Christian primary school, then this is going to be a project that will be of interest to you. If you think you might be interested, you want more details, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com and we can discuss details. And if you have an idea you want to support this project, stay tuned to the contact information at the end of this broadcast and you will know how to contact us. Well, today we're going to be talking about faith and great faith. And so this is going to be a subject, and I prayed about what I wanted to speak about this week. And since we're starting this school project, and this is going to be a project that's going to require a lot of faith on my part, a lot of faith on other people's part, we're not going to be able to get it finished and accomplished the way the Lord wants it unless we exercise great faith. And so that is the subject matter for today. And faith is really the currency of the kingdom of God. It's just like the currency in the United States is the U.S. dollar, or some people use cryptocurrency nowadays, and some people use gold, but the main currency of the United States of America is the U.S. dollar, the $50 bill, the $100 bill, and all the coins. Well, the currency of heaven, the currency of the kingdom of God, is great faith. And if you don't have faith, you cannot operate in the economy. You cannot operate in the kingdom of God because you don't have the right currency. And so this is an appropriate subject for building a school. It's an appropriate subject for going on a mission trip. It's an appropriate subject for preaching a sermon, leading a Bible study, anything that has to do with the kingdom of God. You have to step out in faith. And that's where the challenge comes, because as soon as you declare that you want to do that for the kingdom of God, as soon as you put it on paper or speak it out and it becomes a declaration that this is what you plan to do for the kingdom, then the devil is going to come against you and he's going to attack you. He's going to try to take that idea out of your mind, get you to disavow it, get you to say, well, I can't go on a mission trip. I'm too afraid. Can't go on a mission trip. Can't raise the money. can't preach a sermon because God wouldn't have me to be a preacher, on and on and on. The devil, the enemy of our souls, will come against you as soon as you start to declare a project or declare something for the kingdom of God. The enemy is going to come against you and try to take you out of that, not only that project, but take you out of your declaration, your devotion to Jesus, your gathering for the kingdom. The enemy will try to take you out and take you away from your destiny. So in Hebrews chapter 11, if you've never read this chapter, it's a tremendous chapter, one of the great ones in the New Testament. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote it. I believe these are the words of the Apostle Paul, and that is certainly a man who had plenty of faith, who exercised his faith. And so he starts here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This chapter is called the Roll Call of Faith. And so Paul goes down, he starts by giving a definition, and he starts talking about the saints of old, the elders of old, the saints of the Old Testament, and how they obtained a good testimony by the faith that they exercised. And so this is very important for you, if you read this chapter, to understand you may be small in your faith right now. You may have just a small, tiny mustard seed of faith, but so did some of these people that became notable characters, notable personalities in the roll call of faith. Many of them started with just a little mustard seed of faith, but they believed God. They believed the words of God. They believed the oracles of God. They believed what God told them. They believed what the ancient manuscripts, the scroll, the Torah, the writings of the Old Testament, the writings of Moses, they believed them and they stepped out in faith. And so God rewarded them, and their names are now recorded thousands of years later. Their names are recorded, and we can read who all God esteemed as having great faith. Well, in the years to come, you're not going to have your name in the roll call of faith, but you can still be highly esteemed by God by what you do to move the kingdom of God forward, by what you do to move your own faith walk, your own walk with the Lord forward, and the walk of your family, your children, your community, your country. You can be in that roll call of faith. Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders of old obtained a good testimony." And so faith is a substance. I believe God says you can actually measure that substance of faith, that it's a measurable substance. And he starts out by telling us that faith can be, in a couple of the parables, he says faith can be measured is in the size of a mustard seed. Well, if you know anything about planting, if you know anything about farming, a mustard seed is a little tiny black seed, not much bigger than the point of a Bic pen. If you put a little black dot on a white piece of paper, you'll see it's not very big. That is the size of a mustard seed. When you plant turnips, when you plant cabbage, when you plant Chinese cabbage or mustard, you take those little teeny tiny black seeds. Some people put sand with them. Some people put wood ashes with them. And you spread them down that row, and they are barely visible. You can't even hardly see them in the ground. And yet they will grow to be a big plant, a big cabbage. Some cabbages weigh 10 or 15 pounds. A big Chinese cabbage can be a foot to 18 inches tall and be a foot around at the base. And so these little teeny tiny black seeds can grow into something very large. And so that is why God said our faith can be measured as a mustard seed, because as you feed it the Word of God, as you feed it God's faith, with your own, then it can grow into something very large, and it can grow into something that you cannot believe came from that little tiny seed. And so Paul says that this substance is things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. And so if you've already seen it and you're hoping for it, then that's not faith. If you've already seen it with your eyes, or somebody's already put the money in your pocket and you are working off of that to go on a mission trip, or you're working off that to build a church or to build a clinic or a school or whatever, that isn't exercising your faith. What is exercising your faith is when you don't have that money, you don't have it, you don't know where it's going to come from, you don't know how it's going to come into your hand, but you believe by faith that it will come. You believe by faith that God is going to provide the money to build that school. And while we're talking about that primary school in Macunda, we don't have the money to build it. We have a good start. We have approximately 1/4, I believe, of what it's going to take to build it. I'm thinking it's going to be about $100,000 US, which in Kenya money is a lot of money. That's about 10 million Kenya shillings. We don't have that money in hand, but we're going to start. Even Monday, we're going to start digging the septic tank, the septic system. And then after that, we're going to put the foundations in the ground, the footings. We're going to dig all the footings for three buildings. And then we're going to believe that God is going to provide everything that we need, all of the steel for building the columns, all of the cement bags, which will be hundreds and hundreds of cement bags. There'll be truckloads of rock, truckloads of sand, truckloads of steel, all these things we need to build this school. We believe God is going to put them in our hand, and that we will be able to finish this school, and we will be able to bring glory to God and say, God did it. This is His idea. Wherever there's a vision, there is provision, and we believe God is going to do that, and He's going to do that through the people who love this ministry, through the people who know me and know God, and who trust that God is working in this project. And so Paul says that this is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so we haven't seen it, but we believe it's coming. We're calling into being that which does not exist. We're calling into being things that we have not seen as yet with our natural eyes. For by it the elders of old obtained a good testimony. Then in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. What he's speaking about here is that God spoke the world into existence. He didn't use things that are visible. He didn't go to the hardware store or to the lumber yard and buy materials. God spoke the things into existence by His word, by His power. He is an omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God. He spoke things into existence, and they were not visible to Him or to any other person. There was no people at that time. There was no people on the earth at that time. There was just God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and God spoke the earth into existence. You can go to Genesis 1 and read the creation story of how God created the heavens and the earth. And then on the sixth day, He created man, and He stood back and He said, this is good. Everything that He made, He said, this is good. And on the seventh day, then He rested. And so God spoke things into existence. He did not use things that were visible. And that is the power of God. And to some extent, that we can do that as well. And there are times when people get, I think, off in the ditch a little bit, thinking that everything that they speak can come into existence. No, as humans, everything we speak cannot come into existence, because we are human beings, we're mortal beings, we don't have the same power God does, but to a large degree, we can see things come to pass. If we believe in faith that God will bring it to pass, we can see things come to pass. It's way beyond our human capacity to create. It's way beyond our human ability to bring things to pass. And I think back of times people have come to visit us over here in Kenya. And we have a magnificent children's home, sits on 4 acres of land, big, big, beautiful building, and a beautiful gardens, caretaker's house. And then we have a beautiful church and a marketplace, postal mill. Now we have a clinic going. We have a Duka convenience store, all of that. And I'm not saying this to boast anything about myself. I'm just saying, stepping out in faith, God has brought all this to pass in a predominantly Muslim village. And so these are the things you can do when you step out in faith. You can bring things to pass that your natural human mind cannot comprehend. Your natural human mind cannot explain how God can bring such great and wonderful things to pass. And yet he does it. And so that is a testimony of old. When I stand before God, I want to have the same testimony that the elders of old had and say, God, you did it. This is for your glory. This is for your glory in Makunda Village and for the nation of Kenya. And I believe even greater things than what we have already accomplished. I think even greater things are coming in the days ahead. Well, I'm going to jump down to verse 6 here in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so you have to exercise your faith. You can't just sit on your hands in a church pew, and I'm thanking God for people that are in the churches. Don't misunderstand. But you can't just sit on your hands in a church pew and ultimately please God in a magnificent way, obtain the testimony of the saints of old. You've got to get out and exercise your faith. Do something to promote the kingdom of God. Do something to gather in so that God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will be glorified through your work. And so without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you aren't exercising your faith, if you're not moving out in the kingdom of God and exercising your faith right now, pray and ask God to give you a vision. Give you a vision and then give you the provision to step out in faith and do something great that you haven't done before, that you know you would not be able to accomplish except by the faith in God, except by the fact that God is with you in your own human capacity. You would not be able to accomplish that. And so without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must know that he is, or must believe that he is. When you come to God, you must have a 100% certainty that God is who he is. He says who he is in God's word. He says who he is. He says, I am the great I am. I am, and I sent my son to save you. I sent my son to die on the cross for you. You have to be 100% certain about who God is. You can't be wishy-washy about it. You can't be in doubt about it. One day here, the next day there. That is the doubtful mind. That is the double-minded man that James talks about in James chapter 1. You have to be certain that God is who he says he is, and he will do for you, and he will provide for you what he says he will provide. And so those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He will reward you in the afterlife, in eternal life. He will say, come in, my good and faithful servant. I have prepared a place for you. Jesus said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go ahead to prepare a place for you. And then he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And so he told us that he's going ahead and he's preparing for us mansions, and the mansion that he is preparing for you will be dependent on what you have done with the faith that is given to you here on the earth. You might ask yourself, have I been given a measure of faith? And the answer to that question is yes. Every single person has been given a measure of faith. Even non-believers have a measure of faith to some extent. Many times they step out in faith and do great and mighty things, but it isn't always for the kingdom of God. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "For I say to you, by the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." And Paul is talking to Christians here, and he's talking to the Christians in Rome, a new bunch of believers, new church, and he says, think of yourself soberly. In other words, don't get too proud about who you are. And it's common among baby believers and new Christians, sometimes they get really puffed up with their own self-righteousness. They get puffed up with their own knowledge of God. And God says, think of yourself soberly. Don't think of yourself too highly than what you ought to, but think of yourself soberly. In other words, stay humble, stay low, and keep asking God, God, what can I do for the kingdom of God? God, what can I do for you? What can I do to bring glory to your name? And so the projects that we have started out here in Africa, the projects we've already finished, and the projects that we are starting, the primary school, we have come to a place where we ask God, God, what else can we do? What else can we do in Makunda Village that will bring glory and honor to you? Well, the reality of life in Makunda is such that many of the children there don't go to school. Many of the Muslim children, they quit when they're in fourth grade or sixth grade. Nearly all of them quit when they're in eighth grade. But there is a Muslim primary and secondary school out there. Some of them go. But we want to have a school where we encourage all the children, Muslim and Christian, to come in to our school. Even children to come from Mayoni and Wenatchee, some of the villages around, that they can walk to the school, walk back home at night, receive a good Christian education, learn something about the Bible, learn the ABCs, have good knowledge of fundamentals in education. And so that is why God has brought this vision to us, is because he wants to see this school planted in that village to bring glory and honor to his name, and at the same time equip these children, who many of them aren't even in school, equip them to be good citizens in the country of Kenya, to equip them to be able to take care of their families and take care of their wife and their children. And so this is God's plan for that school in Makunda. And then in Romans chapter 12, verse 4, Paul says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Verse 6, "Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Let me repeat that. Verse 6, "Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use these gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy according to our faith." And so Paul says God has dispersed gifts according to our faith. He has given us gifts according to our faith, and let us use them so that we can promote the gospel, so that we can see people come to know the Lord Jesus. People can receive salvation. People can receive healing. All those things that come by faith, God says, let us use them so that God will be glorified. Let us use them so the kingdom of God will expand. Let us use them so that our faith will build, our faith will grow, and we can do even greater things in the days ahead for the kingdom of God. And so this is God's will. And Jesus Christ himself is the author and the perfecter or the finisher of our faith. And we know that because it says here in Hebrews chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's the saints of old, that's your family that has gone on before you and is in heaven, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, or the author and perfecter of our faith, so for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, and despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. And so Jesus Christ himself is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus Christ himself is the author. He's the one that designed it. Just like an author writes a book, Jesus writes the book for your life. Jesus writes the book for your path. Even before you were born, tells us in Psalm 139, even before we were born, God knew us, even before we were knit in our mother's womb, and he predestined us. He didn't predetermine our choices. He gives us free choice. He gives us free will. But he predestined us to be conformed into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is now sitting at the right hand of God. And so Jesus Christ will perfect your faith. He will finish your faith. These things that he has started in you, he wants to perfect them. He wants to finish them. And these things that he has started in you, if you pray and ask the Lord, what can I do for your kingdom? What can I do to promote your glory and bring glory and honor to your name? God will give you the vision, and then he will give you the provision. And beloved, that is God's plan for your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank the Lord for all the prayers and support over the many years, and we would love to hear from you. We would love to have you help support that school project that we have going now. If you want to contact us, you can contact us by mail. Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can go to PayPal, paypal.me/gatheroutcast. Or you can go to gatheroutcast.com. Use your debit card, your credit card, gatheroutcast.com. Click the donate button. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jim Rao. And these are the ways that you can contact us, get a hold of us. If you have questions, we'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.